Destin for the invitation and actually the risk of inviting me here. I want to make sure that after I leave that his tenure is long and not short and that he remains on his honeymoon. But it's so good to be with you today. I know that this time has been on the calendar for approximately a year, and time has flown by since I was elected the executive director of the BGAV. And they say that time flies when you're having fun. I might need to talk to the person who coined that phrase. But it's so good to be with you. Even as we speak, the church that God has blessed me to lead for close to 10 years now is currently having their worship experience. I've left one of my associates in charge of things. And so as Pastor Justin is taking a risk, I'm also taking a risk. Amen. And so hopefully things are going to go well there. This Sunday for us is called our VIP Sunday because we're taking an intentional effort to reach the next generation, and so we allow them to render service. And so my youth pastor is taking care of things while I am here. So certainly they are praying for you, and I just ask that you would pray for them. But I'm certainly glad to be here this morning. I was in Southwest Virginia very early in my tenure as executive director, and I asked the pastor, the service started at 11, I asked him how long did he want me to preach, because typically once they tell me the time, I normally take 5 minutes off of it so that I can be invited back. But he said to me, you can preach as long as you want to, but we're leaving at 12. So I just want to just take a few moments, and I know we're in the season of Lent with a very special day coming in the next couple of Sundays. The scripture that was read, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, said this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Just want to just take a few moments and just talk about sacrificial love. As I've already mentioned, there is no better time than to talk about sacrificial love than during the season of Lent. The purpose of the season of Lent is to prepare us as followers for the greatest moment in human history, which is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. As we examine this one verse, there are four points that the Lord would have me to share with you this morning about this sacrificial love. And that is, a sacrificial love is a very passionate love. Secondly, a sacrificial love is a very personal love. Thirdly, a sacrificial love is a very purposeful love. And then finally, a sacrificial love is a very perfect love, a very perfect love. The first part of 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, this is love. This is love. This is love. Which should help us to understand that sacrificial love is a very passionate love. My beloved in Christ, when you are passionate, and I mean truly passionate about something, it means that you are willing to serve as an example for that which you are passionate about. When a person becomes passionate, they often become very emphatic. They become very emphatic. And when a person becomes very emphatic, it's often very difficult and nearly impossible to change that person's mind. To that point, that what you see is what you're going to get. In this season of Lent, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8 reminds us that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no account of wrongs. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Which should leave us with no doubt that sacrificial love is indeed a very passionate love. The next segment of our passage found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says this: not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Which should help us to understand that sacrificial love is a very personal love. A very personal love. Now, since we are talking about a very personal love, the Holy Spirit would like to ask us a very personal question. Do we have to be loved in order to show love? As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Listen, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we didn't love God before God loved us. And guess what God did? God took it personally. How many of you know that when God takes things personally, it means that he is taking total responsibility for his own actions? And guess what he decided to do? God decided to love us anyhow. I wonder if during the season of Lent, we can make this our own personal responsibility. That as followers of God, not that they love us, but we love them. Whoever your day might be, not that they love us, but that we love them anyhow. Because a sacrificial love is a very personal love. 1 John chapter 4 also goes on to say that, and he sent his son, which should help us to understand that sacrificial love is a very purposeful love. Listen, when God sent his son, God was up to something. In other words, God didn't send his son without purpose. John 3:16 clearly reveals what that purpose is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 reminds us that God does not wish for anyone to perish. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I call love. And not just any kind of love, but a sacrificial love that is very purposeful. The latter part of 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says that his son Jesus was an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Which should help us to understand that sacrificial love is a very perfect love. Listen, since the story of Abraham and Isaac in the Old Testament, God knew how he was going to atone for the sins of the world. Clues were provided in this dialogue between this father, Abraham, and his son, Isaac, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 through 8. According to this pericope of scripture, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb, for the burnt offering, my son. In my own sanctified imagination, some 2,000 years later, I believe that same conversation may have taken place between God the Father and God the Son. But this time, God, Jesus, spoke up and said to his Father, Yahweh, Father. Yes, my son, Yahweh replied. The cross and the nails are here, Jesus says. But where is the lamb for the atoning sacrifice for the sins of humanity? Yahweh answered, my son, you are the sacrifice. John chapter 15, verse 13 validates that a sacrificial love is indeed a very perfect love, as it reminds us that greater love has no one than this, to lay down one life for another. My beloved in Christ, as we continue this season of Lent, let us share with all who might hear that Jesus' love for us is indeed a sacrificial love, which is a very passionate love, which is a very personal love, which is a very purposeful love, and which is a very perfect love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 serves as a reminder. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I remember back in 2016 when we were building our new church, East End Baptist Church. Has been around since 1888. So when I came there in 2014, I asked the congregation, did you want to remain where you are, or did you want to continue to strive toward building a new building? And they say, Pastor, we want to build this particular building. So we sat out and we did capital campaigns and did all the things that you're supposed to do. We went out and got funding for the project. We did some re-engineering to make sure that it fit within our budget. And so we were prepared. And as we started building, evil arose called change orders. Change orders. And those change orders took our financial condition out of whack. So we began to plead to our congregation. As a matter of fact, I told them that God had given me a vision. And that vision that we have all the money that we need to finish the project. And I said, God also told me that it's in you all's pockets. So as people came one by one and two by two and three by three, they began to do sacrificial giving. Some of them tapped into their cash reserves. Some of them tapped into their credit cards. Some of them tapped into their retirement. Some of them tapped into their savings. And it still wasn't enough. So I reached out and called a buddy of mine and asked him, could you give me some people around the Commonwealth who might be interested in helping us, and not to donate us any money, but to actually provide us some money that we can actually pay back to them. So about 20 of our members say, okay, we'll do a little bit of extra, and we set it up to pay them back. And so this particular person that I reached out to referred a couple of people to me. I called them and shared the vision and so on and so forth, and to no avail. And one day I was traveling down to Florida to visit my father, and the phone rang. And this was one of the referrals that I had received that came out of the blue. This particular gentleman asked me, here's who I am, how can I help you? So I shared the vision with them. I told them very honestly and upfront, look, we started out and we were really praying and fasting and seeing what God would have us to do, but we just have this shortfall that we're trying to fill. And this particular person didn't even know me from anybody, never met him before in my life. And he said, I'm gonna help you all. And so a couple of weeks later, I got a call, and if sure enough, it was him along with his investment person, and we made the arrangements. And without even knowing me, never met me, didn't know me from anybody, didn't really know our church. And so he decided to contribute to us. And so when we finished our church, as a matter of fact, we actually named these people who gave the sacrificial giving Rams in the Bush, because they were people outside of what we had expected. And so sure enough, we were able to complete our church, and we went to the grand opening and invited all the individuals who contributed in a sacrificial way, including this couple. And this couple came, and they was very humble, didn't want any fanfare, and we just wanted to thank them publicly for what they're doing. They didn't know us from anybody, and they sacrificed in order to help us. And so immediately after the service, a week later, I sent out thank you cards. And I wrote a thank you card to this couple, tell them thank you for your support. We couldn't have done this without you and the sacrifice that you made, and really the love that you shared, the unforeseen love. And so I was expecting at least a responsive email or something, but I didn't hear from this person. This was 2017. We showed the humble nature that this person wasn't doing it for any fanfare, just doing it in order to help another brother, sister, church, which was a sacrificial love. And so 2018 went by, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, I forgot all about it. Then I got an email a couple of weeks ago that said, I understand that you're gonna be coming to our church as First Baptist Waynesboro in order to preach. Little did I know that the sacrificial love of a member of this church impacted East End Baptist Church to be where it is today. A very passionate love, a very personal love, a very purposeful love, and a very perfect love. And I want to go on record today, First Baptist Waynesboro, to tell you thank you for your sacrifice that you provided to East End Baptist Church for such a time